We arrive here today to debate at social distances from each other.
There's no doubt that the old politics of the two-party system is now gone and over.
An equal partnership, there would have to be a parity of esteem, and we'd have to work in partnership together.
We're very reluctant to say what's red lines, but we do have to take climate seriously.
There's going to be constant criticism, there's going to be a lot of disappointment, and whoever goes into government is going to be unpopular.
Okay. Hello and welcome to the Your Politics podcast. I'm Sandra Hurley. Well, a lot of focus on the new EU commissioner this week, and the government today has been accused of dithering by the opposition regarding the nomination to fill the vacancy created by Phil Hogan's resignation last week. To discuss this and more, I'm joined by Fianna Fáil MEP Barry Andrews on the phone and in the studio by our political correspondents Micheál Lehane and Paul Cunningham. So Micheál, let me come to you first. What is going on? This has been dragging on for a week and we don't have the names yet.
Yeah, it's strange. There's a complication somewhere. I mean, what we think has been happening is that there has been contact between Dublin and Brussels and also at the European People's Party level, trying to get a signal as to what job might be on offer. There seems to be a clear realisation now the trade job is gone. Is there another prestigious role there? Well, maybe not. And for all those kind of reasons, that the strong signals coming last night, at least, was that Simon Coveney was beginning to back away from this. And therefore, you're looking at a different cast. But at the same time, the delay continues. Micheál Martin, when it was put to him today as to what was going on, he said the government was entitled to deliberate and they'd have a decision within a day or two. It's taken a very long time. Simon Coveney at the parliamentary party meeting last night was saying that the decision cannot be allowed to drift. A clear effort there, you feel, to try and push things on. And the Taoiseach Dunne is saying that they try and resolve it before the end of the week. So there's a bit to run yet, it seems.
Paul Cunningham, let me come to you. So Micheál there has been bringing us up to date, but this has been a fascinating story for political watchers because there's so much at play here. Let's talk about a few aspects of it. Simon Coveney and his personal ambitions. He seemed to signal on Monday that he was only interested in this if it was a good job. Where do we think that all stands now?
Yeah, he expressed an interest, but it was conditional. And the condition was that he was going to get a job which he felt he could use all of his skills, which was code for trade or something as good as trade. And obviously there was a little bit of apprehension within the party and possibly within the wider community, given he has been the stalwart when it's come to Brexit. We're reaching the end of the road when it comes to the Brexit negotiations at the moment. And maybe that steady hand in the tiller was what we'd want. So there was a sense that if Ireland was going to, or the government was going to give up Simon Coveney with his own agreement, then he was going to have to get something. But in all of these things, the competence comes back to the president of the European Commission. It is Ursula von der Leyen who decides what portfolios are going to be given to what countries and to what individuals. And so in as much as you stand forward and say, I want, it doesn't necessarily mean that that's what you're going to get. And as Micheál was outlining, there was this little bit of footsie, a diplomatic chess game going on, which is nearly looking at three steps on the chessboard. If I do this and you do that, does that mean you're going to do this? And sometimes it's code rather than explicit. And that's what's been taking place. And what the government sources have been trying to suggest is that this is a complicated issue. It's a delicate issue, that it's much better to take the time and get the decision right than just lash into it and then make a problem 10 times worse because you haven't sort of considered all of the angles. But even if you take all of that into consideration, I think at this stage, they're running out of rope. The Taoiseach has decided or said that it's going to be the next 2 days. I can't see how it can run into the weekend. I just think it would reflect badly on the government and questions which are already there will only multiply.
And Micheál, if Simon Coveney is sort of out of the running at this stage, the Taoiseach today confirming absolutely at lunchtime that they are going to put forward the name of a man and a woman. Who are we left with?
Yeah, I think it's three. It looks like three. Andrew McDowell, the former advisor on economic matters at the Taoiseach's department when Enda Kenny was there, and then he went to the European Investment Bank. But the emphasis that the Taoiseach at the Fine Gael PP meeting last night placed on the importance of having a woman on the ticket, on the list going there, I think can be taken that it's ultimately the decision of the European Commission president, but that the strongest candidate politically going could be a woman. And then I think you're down to two. It looks like Máire McGuinness, the first vice president of the European Parliament, or the former Taoiseach Francis Fitzgerald.
And we believe we have Barry Andrews now on the line. Can you hear us there, Barry?
Yes, Sandra, how are you?
Yes, Barry, thank you for joining us. So you were tweeting this morning some irritation in this morning's European Parliament Trade Committee meeting at the continuing vacancy following Phil Hogan's resignation. The Irish government needs to get on with it. What's the view over there, and what is there annoyance, and why do you think it's taking so long?
Well, I won't overstate it. There was certainly annoyance. We had a presentation this morning from the German presidency of the European Council, Peter Altmaier, the economy minister of Germany. And the first question that was asked from the floor by an MEP was, display that irritation that this has been going on for a full week. Everybody's been waiting to see who the nomination will be. And it was more or less because we want to see a trade commissioner, because the trade agenda right now is very packed, whether it's Brexit, whether it's supply chains related to COVID, whether it is issues to do with the MFF and various trade agreements, the pressures from China and the US. All of this agenda is quite packed and there's no trade commissioner. So it wasn't necessarily an anxiety to see an Irish commissioner, more or less to see the trade portfolio filled. And my view is that it won't be an Irish person filling the trade portfolio. I've always held that view since the resignation. And I think it's, as I said before, a strategic loss for Ireland.
And something else you said, Barry, you also said that it was likely to be a woman. Is that the view over there, that Ursula von der Leyen is so keen on this gender-balanced cabinet that, she's more likely to favour the female name put forward?
I think that it is true. I think that it's the one way in which the president or the commission can say that something positive has come out of this, and that she will have achieved what she sought to achieve in the first place. She asked the Irish government last year to nominate two people, a man and a woman, and only Phil Hogan was nominated at that time. So I think she'll be anxious that opportunity will arise. And it's not just for the commission about gender balance. I've also made the point that only one of the last 10 Irish commissioners has been female. So there's a rebalancing there that needs to be done. And so I do fully expect the successful candidate to be a woman on this occasion.
Hi, Barry. It's Paul Cunningham here, just crashing in on the interview. Just can I ask you about your sense of this question of competence, because it's always an interesting one. As far as the treaties are concerned, it's up to the Irish government to send over whatever nominees it wants to send. That seems to be pretty clear. And yet, on the other hand, you've got the Commission President saying, I want two names and I want it to be a man and a woman. How much tension is there on that issue? How much, as some TDs are saying here in hushed tones, that this is a land grab by Brussels and Dublin should consider doing something about it?
I think that's a little bit overstating it. I think it's clear that the Irish government has no legal obligation to comply with the request from the President of the Commission. However, there's a fairly overwhelming political obligation, because clearly it's up to the President of the Commission then to distribute portfolios. And she made it very clear last week that she was going to redistribute more than one portfolio. So Ireland isn't going to get the trade portfolio, in my opinion. And it would be in our interest to put forward two candidates if we have any chance of getting a significant portfolio. And I'd say, I don't know, I have no inside track, but I would say that's what a lot of the delay is try to get some kind of an indication of what might be available, and that would determine who comes forward as a candidate. So that's the way I see the light of the land, Paul.
And Barry, do you see this as kind of a Fine Gael problem at this stage, that it's really, it's the EPP, it's seen as an EPP nominee? I think you also said that perhaps last week. And therefore, is it your understanding that perhaps this is about internal machinations in Fine Gael, and the Fianna Fáil are just kind of letting them get on with it, but it's taking Fine Gael a while to make this decision?
Yes, it is. There's an internal Fine Gael element to it, but it ultimately it's a decision of the government to put forward the name. So it's not like the Fianna Fáil leader, the Taoiseach, is washing his hands of it at all, or neither Eamon Ryan. So it does require all three party leaders to agree it's a government decision and collective responsibility and all that. So, but I think it will, it appropriately an EPP nomination. I think that's correct. One of my sort of issues I have raised about this whole process, it's okay to not know what job you're applying for when there are 27 positions to be filled, because the president can then mix and match competences with available portfolios. But when we don't know what portfolio is to be filled by the person to be nominated, it's very hard to match that. I'm sure there's one or two of those jobs that, you know, I could do, for example, but there's a lot of them I couldn't do. So I'd like to know what you're, what I'm applying for. So I think the process of a casual single vacancy needs to be looked at. Again, I think it's a troublesome way of filling a really, really critical job.
Okay, Barry Andrews, well, thank you for joining us.
My pleasure, Sam.
And Paul, just another question for you. Here's a tricky one for you to navigate.
Thank
now,
you, Sandra.
Yes,
on the I was always nice to you.
And on the gender side of it, I mean, if the feeling now is, and Leo Varadkar hinted at this, that a woman is more likely to get the job, Barry Andrews said that as well, does that mean that the male candidate, whoever's name is put forward, that they're kind of a decoy and, dare I say, a sort of a token male nominee?
Thank you for that question, Sandra. That's really nice of you. I don't think that anyone is going to allow their name to go forward unless they feel that they've got, number one, something to offer. You can't put up a dead duck. It has to be someone of calibre, someone of standing. We were just mentioning earlier on, one possible nominee had been working in the European Investment Bank. So clearly there's a qualification there. The additional factor, which you haven't mentioned in the question, is the question of politics. The sense that I've always picked up was that they wanted to make a political appointee on the basis that that was more accountable, accountable to the people for the actions that they took. So I think that's an extra dimension. So if it was that they chose a politician and a non-politician, I think that would even further bolster, whether it was Mairead McGuinness or Frances Fitzgerald, their credentials in that regard. And finally, I think when it comes to what Barry Andrew said, I think that is a good point. It's very hard to pick a person when you don't know what the person is actually going to go. And maybe that accounts for some of the delay, because we don't know, and maybe we'll never know, just how forthcoming the Commission has been on the likely opportunities. We've heard that it could be a straight swap. We've heard there could be a mini reshuffle. Is that just EPP seats? Or is it going to be a major reshuffle involving all of the commissioners around that table? Those are things we don't know. And I'm no doubt the Irish government and through the permanent rep in Brussels have been trying to tease those issues out. Whatever the story is, they need to get a decision. In my view, my humble view, they need to get it done by tomorrow.
And Micheál, what can we deduce about the relationship between the coalition parties on this? I mean, earlier in the week, it seemed there was slightly contradictory information coming from maybe various sides. Does this tell us something else about maybe the government not gelling together and having difficulties making decisions?
Yeah, I don't know, given the fact that such a strong element, as you've been talking about, relates to Fine Gael, but still the other party leaders are involved. I suppose, if anything, the Phil Hogan chase, if you like, around that particular controversy did show a unity within government that hadn't been seen before now. But the longer this goes on, the more complicated it does look, all right. So for those reasons as well, you think it has to be sorted very soon. Speaking to people, I think the next steps on it possibly have to be another meeting of the party leaders that isn't scheduled formally for today, but maybe there's a way of doing it over the phone or whatever. And then there is still apparently ongoing contact with Brussels. So that hasn't quite concluded either.
And do you want to call it?
Yeah, Micheál.
I think within the Fine Gael parliamentary party, there's for some reason, for whatever reason, there seems to be some reluctance around fully embracing Mairead McGuinness's candidature. Generally in the wider public, perhaps that might be a more popular approach than backing someone like Frances Fitzgerald. But Frances Fitzgerald politically has, you could argue, done more in the sense of running government departments and handling big budgets and the like. So it's a difficult one. At the end, I'd say Mairead McGuinness.
Okay, I'm going to come back to you and talk about the stay and spend, but I can't let you off the hook, Paul. You call it as well.
Yeah, I mean, we do have one hand tied behind our back because we don't know who the man is going to be. I mean, take, for example, one of the former commissioners is David O'Sullivan. He also went on to be the EU ambassador to the United States. He knows trade left, right and centre, could probably do it in his sleep. I mean, if they put up someone like that, then it could be a real contest. But I would concur with Micheál. I think that it would be more likely than not to be Mairead McGuinness.
OK, and then so the more big news today on this stay and spend voucher was, it's not a voucher, actually, this whole initiative. It was announced back in the July stimulus programme, but we're getting more details today, Micheál.
Yeah, for €625, someone can get up to €125 back in a tax credit. But it is, you don't get it back for quite a while. It's the year after the expenditure has occurred before it makes its way back to consumers. But I suppose government clear that this is one of the things that really can boost the hospitality sector during the off-season, and it applies to pubs, restaurants, motels and B&Bs.
And the other issue, I suppose, we've been talking about and the politicians have been talking about today, a lot of focus on pubs, that legislation going through. Some reported comments from Leo Varadkar last night that maybe the so-called wet pubs, that he'd like to see them reopen. Is there slight differences emerging between the Fianna Fáil approach and the Fine Gael approach on how to deal with COVID in terms of possibly getting all the pubs back open?
Yeah, there's definitely a difference in tone there. I mean, you can hear that fairly consistently. I heard it after the cabinet meeting on Friday as well. Leo Varadkar talking about that desire to reopen the pubs. Micheál Martin saying, yes, he feels that way too, but immediately goes on to speak about sports events first and emphasising that the big political task was getting schools reopened, and that has happened. I suppose the next step in all this, where all these things, including international travel, is going to have to be looked at. Something Eamon Ryan was talking about today is when that medium term COVID plan is published in the next 2 weeks. That's kind of the next big thing for the government to try and show a way of dealing with COVID, and they're going to have to do it in a unified way as well. I mean, Eamon Ryan saying this morning that actually, in some ways, this document is going to be more important than the budget.
Well, on that note, we're joined by our political coverage editor, David Murphy. And the budget is in just over a month away, of course, and it's going to be extra difficult this year, given all the spending that the government has had to deal with.
Yeah, I think really this is going to be a massive test for the government. And the reason for this is that on the one hand, they've been throwing money at the economy to try to stimulate various parts of the economy. But as the COVID-19 crisis has begun to settle down, it's becoming abundantly clear that some sectors, while COVID-19 is still here, are really going to be on life support. And in that context, the government is going to have to make a decision. How long do we continue to try to stimulate those parts of the economy in full knowledge that as soon as we switch off the stimulus, those businesses are going to close? And how long can we go to the international markets and borrow money from them for current expenditure? And at what point do we indicate to the markets that we're going to see a pathway to close off the deficit? And in some respects, really what they're looking at potentially is making some very hard decisions to say, you know, these parts of the economy, we're no longer going to support them. It's not actually worth our while. And at that point, you're going to see very large levels of businesses, unfortunately, closing their doors. Another way they can look at it is they're going to have to say, we've got to reorientate part of the economy and stimulate some businesses to move completely online for the time being. And I think those are the big, difficult decisions they're going to have to make economically. And there's a political dimension to this as well. If you look at the unemployment numbers now, they're running around, if you take everything in, they're running around 16% or so. And what we expect to see happening is a kind of a plateauing off, where we start plateauing off at a relatively high level of unemployment. Now, in normal times, you have a big safety valve there called emigration. People can leave Ireland to get work elsewhere. That opportunity isn't there anymore. So what's going to happen to those people, and who are they? Well, a lot of them are young people. And will they, in the event of any sort of election, would they actually move to vote with different political parties? Because really, their view of the world and their view of their own prospects are changing. Are they people who could become Sinn Féin voters? And so what impact is that going to have politically as the budget draws closer? Will those people begin to look towards Sinn Féin? And is that something that will impinge, for instance, on the Green Party, where they have to make some tough decisions regarding voting in a budget that may be tapering down some of the stimuluses which are there? And we've seen that already with some of the stimuluses. So I think that in a way, it's going to be the future plans regarding stimulus, what the budget is going to say about them, and what are the political implications of those decisions.
And we know, I suppose, young people, Micheál, have been disproportionately hit by all of this in terms of their lifestyles completely changing, many of them more exposed in terms of jobs and all that. What could we see in the budget that that the government could do to try and help young people?
Yeah, that's the key. And Micheál Martin, when it was put to him yesterday in the Dáil by Richard Boyd Barrett, specifically in relation to the unemployment, the pandemic unemployment payment, which is changing on September 17th, that you do have people who work in the arts, people, not just young people, like people like taxi drivers as well, who want to return to work, but yet they're going to see their current payment reduced even before the budget. So the pressure will be there when you get into October to do something about that. And the government will feel that. It'll feel that in the weeks running in. It won't be just at the budget itself. One thing the finance minister did say today, something we probably knew already, but he said in clear terms, that there won't be any income tax increases in this budget.
And what about the Dáil being back yesterday, the first day of the new term, and it started very acrimoniously, exactly how it had finished in July. Straight away, we were into an argument.
Yeah, straight away, we were into an argument about the reallocation of time in terms of speaking time. I think there's two elements to this. One is that I think many of the backbenchers on the government side feel very frustrated about the amount of time they've got to speak in the past. I was talking to one who drove from the far end of the country to speak in the Dáil for 90 seconds and then drove back again. And so there's that pressure on one side. So they're going to be giving more time to the government backbenchers and taking some time from some of the smaller opposition parties. I think you'll see in the new allocation that Sinn Féin is doing quite well. However, some of the smaller ones are very, very unhappy about it. So I think that tension is rumbling on. We're probably going to see some more of that. But I guess after any general election where you see a shift in terms of seats, people would argue that you need to see a shift in terms of time, and they're going to be winners and losers. And I think the losers in that are unhappy, they're grumbling, and we'll hear more of it.
And Micheál, the Ciarán Cóirle Seán Ó Fáil had some very strong words about the about Golfgate, and he described the Oireachtas Golf Society as self-styled.
Self-styled, yeah. And I think that raises probably another question for another society. There are very few Oireachtas societies, but the one is the rugby team within here, which of course is fairly prominent. Neil Richmond, the Fine Gael TD involved in that. People like Jim O'Callaghan as well have played for that.
Angus O'Snodig. It's cross-party.
So I think there's some clarity being sought on that, because the Clerk of the Dáil has been asked to look to see are there any other Oireachtas societies. And on a serious level, they were fairly stinging comments, and it really kind of set the tone about what the Ciarán Cóirle expects. And he kind of, his later words were interesting too, where he said, I mean, the signal has to be sent out that TDs and senators are there to serve the interests of the people, and that's their only function. And he said too, at the best of times, trying to keep public confidence in the institutions is difficult, but certainly what happened in Galway made it all the more difficult.
Okay, great. Well, that's our lot for this week, with thanks to our guests, the MEP Barry Andrews and political correspondents Micheál Lehan and Paul Cunningham, and also David Murphy, who made a cameo appearance. If you enjoyed the podcast, please subscribe and leave a review, and we'll talk to you again next week.